from James 1, chapter 1, verses 2. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider this text from James this morning, let us also consider the subject for our text this morning: the educated Christian. The educated Christian. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and heard them make the comment, "Just keep on living"? Usually that comment comes at the end of one of those situations where someone has missed the point of a life lesson because of their immaturity or their naivety. The fact that they couldn't understand the wisdom behind a decision that was made, or how or why something happened, again pointed to their lack of wisdom. Wisdom gained from living and experience. Someone once said this: experience is a hard teacher because she gives the test first and then teaches the lesson. We've heard it over and over again, and we've passed down through generations how important it is to get a good education. And yet the reality is that the best education in life comes not from what we read, but from what we live. And the same is true for those of us who are Christian. We should go to school and get a good Christian education, learning all we can about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and other matters connected to our relationship with God. But the best educated Christian in the world is the one who has learned from their experiences in life and from their experiences with God. Life and learning to endure life is at the core and heart of the truly educated Christian. Now, we probably don't give much thought to what it means to be an educated Christian, but it is true, and the reality is that if you are a Christian, everything that we do is an opportunity to be educated by Christ. The writer James has pretty much reduced becoming an educated Christian to a process in which everyone who believes in Christ and has acknowledged him as Lord is on the road to Christian higher education. For the writer James, becoming an educated Christian is an unavoidable life requirement that we can never get away from. It's written into our Christian DNA just as surely as Jesus Christ is the Son of God. James begins with the premise that life comes with challenges and trials that we have to face each day. Everybody has them. They are not unique to who we are as Christians. He suggests that these life challenges are there for no other reason than to test our faith. He says that we should count this testing as joy because the result of it is a Christian character quality called endurance. But he also suggests that it's how we handle them that becomes a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the first part of becoming an educated Christian, that is Christian education, comes from learning how to handle life's challenges in a Christian way, a way in which we learn endurance. He then moves to the premise which many of us fail at and are afraid to admit that we fail at, and that is where to go when we don't know what to do. As far as James is concerned, we can bypass all of our antiquated, outdated technology. He doesn't say it explicitly, but he says it implicitly. If we don't know the answer to life's challenges, then Google God. I've said it before, between me and God, we know everything. So if there's something I can't discover or discern spiritually about how to handle life situations, James suggests that God should be our first contact person, our tutor, and our mentor. And with that, James suggests that we trust that God will supply what we need and we'll be generous in that supply. But then James makes it or takes it to its ultimate conclusion and suggests that the greatest education for Christians comes from a daily application of what we've learned. It's not just about what we know in our heads. It's about what we practice from our hearts. That's where the greatest opportunity to become an educated Christian is realized. And yet while we know what we know in our heads, it somehow doesn't always transfer from our heads to a practice in our lives. You see, brothers and sisters, we automatically start off on the wrong foot because we see challenges as something to avoid rather than something to find joy in. We see life's trials as something that we would rather do without, rather than using them as learning experiences that helps us to endure. We use them as a time to show how smart we are or how skilled we are at handling things ourselves, as opposed to using our trials as an opportunity to place God at the forefront of our problem-solving process. What we know in our heads is one thing, but what we practice in reality is something else altogether. What we know in our heads is that trials will come. We are living witnesses and examples of the trials that life throws on us, but when it comes to knowing what to do about our trials, we at times remain blind to our first line of offense and relegate our most powerful ally to a last resort solution. And I believe you know what I mean, brothers and sisters. We've heard people in our own life experiences, people who believe and have faith in God, say, well, there's nothing to do now but pray. And at the utterance of those words, we admit that we've tried to take control of the situation and have failed. We've given it over to whatever professionals there are, and they failed. We've probably told our friends, spent time worrying about it ourselves, and yet the words of our reality indicate that whatever the situation is, we're finally ready to hand it over to God. And in reality, God should be our first line of offense. When the challenges of life are overwhelming us, when trials in life are beating us up or knocking us down, God should be the first one we get in touch with. God should be the primary one we seek for solutions to our problems. and then rely on those other resources as God directs us. Now, I know that sometimes the critical nature of a situation mandates another response. But if we've waited to the point where we're looking for God to be our superhero and to rush in and save the day for us, then we've missed the point of becoming an educated Christian. You see, brothers and sisters, God's tutoring is always consistent with God's actions. God functions in relationship with us from a position of faith. We must first believe that God is able before God will reveal God's wisdom to us. Additionally, there seems to be something consistent in God acting out of our faith system. When we approach God first, we exalt God as our problem solver. We tell God by our actions that we're counting on God to point us to the right doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, the cook, the counselor, and friend. We're saying, God, that we trust you more than any other. And when our trials are over, we can find joy in the fact that God was there. We can celebrate the fact that God was present in our time of need. We can tell the story in the congregation about what God did to deliver us. But God can't be exalted if God becomes our last-ditch effort to get out of trouble. We can't tell those stories of how God brought us through if we're depending on someone other than God. And don't misunderstand me, brothers and sisters. God will use doctors, friends, counselors, and other people to bring us through our trials. But it is God who does it. God is at the heart of the Christian education that teaches us to first trust in the Lord. That's why the scripture reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path smooth. You see, brothers and sisters, trials and challenges in life are fundamentally the best educator of Christians that there is. It's there in the midst of our own trials and challenges that we learn that instead of focusing on our problems, we can begin to discover where God is in the midst of our challenges. It's how in the midst of our trials, we learn to find joy in the midst of our circumstances. It's a lesson that doesn't come from anything but trusting in the word of God as truth. It's a lesson that enables us to tell others when the time comes to just keep living. Then they can know the truth of God's word for themselves. There was a famous stress researcher named Hans Selye who claims that two attitudes more than any other influence the quality of everyday life. And on these two emotions depend our peace of mind, our feelings of security or insecurity, of fulfillment or frustration. In short, the extent to which we can make a success of life. He says the most destructive emotion is revenge. But in contrast, among all the emotions, there is one which more than any other accounts for the absence or presence of stress in human relations, and that is the feeling of joy. A man named Mike McAdams of Nashville, Tennessee, visited his wife, Cheryl, in the ICU of a hospital. And the story goes, as he was leaving the ICU, a friend asked him how she was. And Mike said, "It's touch and go. She recognized me. We prayed together and held hands. And then we quoted the passage about joy in the book of James that says, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." And he then added, "It's impossible to be anxious and joyful at the same time." And that's the first part of learning to be an educated Christian. It is learning to be joyful even in the midst of our trials, because in those trials we are able to discover God with us in the midst of our circumstances. We become able to share with others the peace that we experience about whatever our circumstances are. We're able to be a non-anxious presence when others are going through their own storms of life. And as a result, our faith grows and we grow more and more into Christian maturity as children of God. There really isn't a better education for Christians than the trials we are made to endure. And we can find joy and endurance in going through them because we know that God has brought us through them before. And the truth is, God is the best tutor in providing sound instruction, wisdom, and advice. There is no one who understands the nature of our conditions or the lessons we need to learn from our trials better than God. And there is no one who can provide a model of learning that invites our trust without destroying us better than God. Several years ago, in an article for National Geographic magazine, an article appeared about beekeepers, two in particular, whose daughter Rachel had an allergy to bee stings. And to build up her immunity, doctors administered a series of injections into the young girl over a 4-month period of time. But in order to maintain the immunity, she needs a shot or a bee sting every 6 weeks over a period of several years. So every 6 weeks, Rachel's parents would go outside and catch a bee. And then as Rachel sat anxiously, her dad would make the bee mad and stick it on her arm, counting to 10 before he took the stinger out. But it worked. And now when she accidentally gets stung, it barely swells and it barely hurts. In a world where we face trials every day, it's necessary to depend on God's wisdom to teach us how to endure those trials and to gain the benefit of becoming stronger because of them. The lessons we learn can't be taught by anyone wiser than our God. We may learn from others' experiences, but God is the primary educator of us all. And yet at the heart of becoming an educated Christian is moving what we know in our heads and learn from our trials into a relationship with others who need God's love. That's where the pulse of an educated Christian really is. It's in touching the lives of those who need the knowledge we have to overcome life circumstances. It's in reaching out to do true religion by caring for those who are grieving, by seeking to provide opportunities and love to those who don't have the benefit of parenthood. Real Christian education happens in a one-on-one group contact with those who have missed life in a normal way. But even more, it's learning in our relationship with Christ that at times we are called to stand against the world so that we can remain true to our God. An educated Christian understands that our first loyalty is to God and no one else. An educated Christian is in some ways only learning themselves when we allow ourselves to get down and dirty with those in the world who are considered down on their faith and perhaps dirty from a literal standpoint. The heart of an educated Christian is moved from being complacent in our heads to an active compassion in our hearts, a compassion that drives us to do more than talk about the love of God, but show someone the love of God. The heart of an educated Christian is revealed when we have shown the world the love of Christ in tangible and real ways. So, friends, the educated Christian not only knows what's in God's word, the educated Christian applies what's in God's word in tangible ways that touches the lives of others. The educated Christian feeds on God's word, but is careful about what they say, speaking the truth in love, but being careful not to offend or hurt anyone by what they say. The educated Christian has learned to endure life's challenges, relying on the grace, power, and wisdom of God, knowing that endurance is nothing more than a test of our faith. The educated Christian has learned God's faithfulness through endurance and has trusted that God will do what God has said, even if it doesn't happen on our timeline of expectations. So as we walk our Christian journey day by day, let's always remember that when things seem darkest, when trials seem overwhelming, when storm clouds like sea billows roll, when death comes creeping in our rooms, when the light of day has taken away the darkness of night, it is our faith in God and God's wisdom that is the strongest evidence that we are educated Christians, seeking to care for the widows and orphans and remaining pure in our love and service to God. That is God's word today for God's people today. Thanks be to God. Amen.